listening to Offbeat Music Box. I'm Carol K, and I'm with...
I'm Simone.
Hi, Simone. How are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Saturday. I feel good. We're in the studio. It's a beautiful day.
Beautiful day in sunny Los Angeles, right?
Sunny California.
Sunny. Can we get a little rain?
I know.
Good Lord.
It's hot as hell.
So our big question for today is, who's making noise in the underground?
And we have a list of people making noise.
Yeah.
Who should we get in with first?
The few people that Ninth Wonder worked with.
Right.
So let's touch on Ninth Wonder today.
Producer Ninth Wonder.
Yeah, producer Ninth Wonder.
All right.
Let's get right into it.
Well, Ninth started with my favorite rap group from North Carolina. He's from North Carolina. He's a professor at Duke now. But we first started back in about 2001 with an album called The Listening. With Fonte, Big Pooh, Ninth Wonder was the producer, and they met each other in the North Carolina region. I think he went to school with Fonte, and went to college with him at NC State, I believe. And he was just doing beats in his dorm room, and then who would have known, like 10 years later, he's a Grammy Award winner.
Wow.
Crazy.
First of all, hey, I mean... The journey itself is pretty incredible. It's always very incredible to come from making beats in your dorm room to winning a Grammy. That's pretty
right?
incredible. What was really interesting to me was that I didn't know he was a professor.
Yeah.
Very cool, man.
Professor of hip hop. I'd love to take that course, right?
I know.
Wouldn't that be
Ooh,
cool?
Man, dude, that would be awesome. So I think the first artist we want to talk about that is collaborative with Ninth Wonder would have to be Murs. And Simone brought up Murs, and he was like real adamant. He wanted to really talk about Murs. You know, I went back and listened to this album per his request. I actually love this album now.
Yes.
And I actually really, I'm really liking it. And because before I listened to it, I was a little bit of a passive listener.
I liked It's Over. Did you like that song? I remember we talked about It's Over.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually want to play that in this segment. But we're going to get into Murs. And this is his fifth album with Ninth Wonder called, what was it called? The Final Adventure?
Yeah.
And this is his last album with Ninth Wonder. Not that they didn't get along or they didn't make good music. I'm sure they sold well. I think it just becomes a time where you just want to move in to do different things with other producers. Ninth has a lot of things going on. Murs has a lot of things going on. He also has a festival called Pay Dues with nothing but underground artists. You can catch the show right here in San Bernardino. I think the show is usually in April, May. Carol, we should go.
We totally should, dude.
Right? Bring the group of people to experience an underground hip-hop festival.
Yes. Yes. So let's get into the first song on this album. You'll get a snippet, actually, of this other artist that we're going to get into
right
after this. And her name is Rhapsody. Big ups to the female rappers, because I'm all about women empowerment, you know me.
She definitely is.
Me and my part-time feminism self.
Awesome.
With that said, though, there is another album that we're going to talk about, and I like it for all the wrong reasons. It's like, you'd be like, you're no freaking feminist.
Wow. I don't know how
album.
She liked this album.
It's
this
entertaining,
is crazy, but it's
okay?
Beautiful.
Anyways, we'll talk about that later. We'll get into that. Let's get into this song by Murs and Ninth Wonder. It's called Get Together, and it features Rhapsody. But here
Dope.
We go. Let's get into it.
And I'd like to introduce like to you. The newest talent. One of my favorite MCs in the whole fucking world. Rap.
I swim through the lane, Olympic style. Backstroking, consoling the crowd. Murder was the case and revenge was the way to get over clouds. Above my plane, they too plain to fuck with the child. Complain, we fly now, the 316's been. And they just want more of it like Rose and Joakim. Sweet Lord, I told them kill the bull just like a pimp. And I slapped it out the back of the Denali on shiny rims. Shotgun, we barreling out like Carolyn House. Door to door, spread the word that I'm sick of knee house. MDs, that rapper shit, I'm a jam MC. And all I see is mofos who ain't flowing with me. The female Christian Bell trying to fail to make the climb up, took a leap of faith without the cape, and they remind us of heroes glowing like the candles in the shrine does. Nice a problem, I could probably even 99 up. 200 even problems ain't no.
So that was Murs featuring Rhapsody, produced by Ninth Wonder, and this is the very first song on the album, and I thought that was very interesting how he starts off this song on his album by introducing Rhapsody. And I think what he did there was definitely pass the torch. This is a chapter that he's closing. She kills it. He introduces her like, this is the baddest motherfucker on the planet, Rhapsody. I love how he just passed it to him like the Olympics in Sochi, man. What'd you think?
Dude, I have to agree. Like, you don't get a lot of artists that just puts up another person like that and just like puts them on this pedestal and say, look at this person. Like, you know, it's just.
That's beautiful,
you don't
man.
Get a lot of that, you know?
Not
it's
at
a,
all.
Yeah. So I think that passing the torch tidbit at the beginning was definitely.
It gave me goosebumps, man. Because we listened to it again, I was like, damn, he just did that.
Yeah, like it's like definitely like tipping his hat off to her.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And rightfully so. She's a really amazing, talented lyricist.
She makes me like this. Like, this verse made me forget we were even talking about Merz. Not that we're nothing against Merz, but that song was just dope.
Yeah, I mean, yes. All right. So actually, that was just her verse. Let's play his verse.
Let's do it.
5 albums in like 8 years, gonna end it on a high instead of late in our careers. Love for my fans, hate for my peers. Guess that rapping about the trapping ain't as great as it appears. We made our own lane for the morally sane. We try to educate as well as entertain. The cost of living foul, everybody gotta pay it. What up though, you know I had to say it. Humble but it's known that we are the best team. The closest thing these kids got to keep.
Getting into that song, like just to be able to play you the little verse by Merz, we realized that most of that song actually is about Rhapsody. It's really like Rhapsody's song almost. Like it's almost like this is that introduction. Going back to what you said, Simone, like he really just put her out there and was like, hey, spit on this verse. Let's let everybody know who you are. I'll chime in at the end, you know, like this
that
whole
just
album
shows
is my
Merz's
album
character.
Anyway, but let me give you this moment. Like you deserve almost an entire song on my album.
On the very first song.
The very first song. It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you Merz's character. I mean, I met him once. He seemed like a nice dude. We talked for a minute. And he, just as a person, you'll just hear a lot of his personality in his music. In this album, he has a few songs. One of the songs reminds me of a friend of mine that's locked up. And he talks about ignorance. And I don't know, he just portrays, because he's from L.A., so that's why I really enjoy him. I mean, there's a lot of underground rappers from L.A., but he's the one that stood out, in my opinion, when I first started listening to underground hip-hop. Merz was one of my first introductions to the music. Actually, even Merz and Ninth Wonder, I saw them perform at Omoeba, and they put on a free show, and he had an album that he let be released for free because he was putting out a mainstream album called Merz for President. I don't really want to talk about that album.
I think we should bring it up, though.
We should.
Because I think it correlates a lot.
It makes me sad.
This is all about underground and all that good stuff. That's why we're here, is we want to talk about, like, why is it underground? Why do they want to be underground? Like, why do they prefer it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked earlier about it kind of being this, like, secret exclusivity type thing. Not secret, necessarily, but there's this, like, this exclusivity about this whole underground thing. And it's like
a badge of honor, right?
It is like a badge of honor. You only get talked about as an underground artist because you're raw and you're good, you know? So that is, like, that badge of honor. And the reason I think we should go into Merz's more mainstream album is because it's just to show the difference between the type of music that comes out of underground and the type of music that is made for mainstream.
Right.
And so, but we'll get into that. We'll just, let's play that song.
So this song's called It's Over by Merz.
So party on and we catch you on the other end. What up to Rhapsody? What up to Absol? He went on paid dues, so I'm an asshole. I really wish I could put everybody on, kid. You don't like it, motherfucker, get your own shit. That's what I did, and it worked for me. And now we working on our 8th anniversary. So do you know what today is? It's the day you get up off your ass and make yourself famous. I don't owe you nothing, why you got your hand out? Why would I put food in a grown man's mouth? Ain't my fault.
See, I like that song for two different reasons. First, it's kind of one of those songs you can vibe to. Like, it's something that I think could be played on the mainstream radio. And you know, because it has, like, a simple concept about, oh, it's about this relationship with this woman, and it's a broad topic. The message in the next part that he goes into is what I really like about it, and I think it's something that people need to hear.
Most
that
definitely.
Stop pointing fingers, you know. It's just be responsible, take some responsibility for your own shit, you know. I think that's why I like that. And
the
for
honesty.
Some reason, yeah, the honesty. And for some reason, again, he gives a little shout out to Rhapsody.
Yeah,
you know, I think the level of respect, that's
man,
so awesome. Even though he switches gears in this song, it doesn't throw me off for some reason. I enjoy it.
Yeah, he talks about two different subjects. He talks about it. Shout out to my ex. That's got balls, because he was known to date a stripper. Not a stripper. She was a porn star, but porn star stripper. And he talks about that relationship. Then he starts talking about maybe some of his friends. Who knows who he's talking about? Because he knows a lot of people. But he's basically talking about that festival, and he made himself famous. And get off your ass. If they're not giving you shows, throw your own shows. Call up a venue. And he did that. And now this thing is 8th anniversary. It's so honest, and he's genuine, and everything he talks about is genuine. You feel it in your soul. It's all relatable to everyday people like you and I. I don't know. It's just, he's an amazing dude, and his lyrics are very clear.
Yeah, word up.
Man, that's underground at its highest.
Let's bring up that album. We talked about his mainstream album, okay. Murs for President. You brought it up.
Murs for President.
And you're real passionate about how you feel about this album.
Yes.
You express it every time you bring it up. There's this look on your face. And so
it hurts.
Tell me about it. What about this album? Why do you want to talk about this album?
So, like, Murs, if we follow Murs' career, he's part of a legendary rap group of seven artists called the Living Legends. They've been around since the 90s. He has his own group that he had since high school called 3MG. All his music is underground. He got signed to a major record deal. I don't know if he's still signed to that. I don't think so. But this album was called Murs for President. And a lot of my friends were like, I don't know, man. And I was like, well, I mean, congratulations. He just got paid. He's got all these producers. And they were like, dude, watch what happens. And this album dropped. He had Snoop on there. It was a tragedy.
a tragedy. Man, wow. That's a strong
word. All that
word.
Money, man.
Man, you keep bringing up the Snoop song. I want to play it because
Please do. You
keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
And then we'll discuss it.
Okay.
We like to float when we rock. Smoke when they lock. The homie got the rope in the Glock. Bass heads like smoke when they rock. 100 rappers and they hoping they hot. Gang bangers, yeah, they low on they block. Low riders, yeah, they stroking they hot. Collard greens, yeah, they soaking they pot. Till it's old, game cold, and it's meant to be sold. Stay tuned to the next episode. When he ride, he roll. If he fake, he fold. If he real, let the story be told. In the land where you will be exposed. OGs, hood rats, and the punk
hope. All right. Well, that's a little snippet of that Snoop song. When we went back to just listen to it, just to refresh ourselves on it, we just played the iTunes snippet version of it because we were having difficulties pulling up our version. And I noticed that when you hit the play button to preview it, they start off with the Snoop verse. And I'm wondering, because since Murs is kind of unknown to the masses, he doesn't have as big of a recognizable name as Snoop. I wonder if that's a marketing strategy, if like that's why they put Snoop snippet to start off the song.
That was a good pickup.
Like, I don't know. I could be wrong.
I definitely think that was a marketing strategy. I think the song was a marketing strategy by just putting Snoop on this track. The song's about positive in your community in Los Angeles, gangs getting along and just putting down the guns, and it's all positive. And then you throw in Snoop, who is a genius and an icon, but the verse, he talks about some ratchet shit in the song that's about positive and about peace, and then he starts talking about some Crip Cuz thuggetry shit. And I don't think even Snoop knew what the hell he was doing. I think they asked him, look, he just got this deal, his name is Murs, go in the studio and drop a verse. And he was like, all right, cuz, and he was high probably. And he just jumped in there, started rapping, didn't know what the fuck he was rapping about.
Goodness.
And then they released the song. I bet you Murs probably didn't even want to put out the song, but when you have a major record deal,
right,
they tell you what to do. You're like a puppet.
Yeah, they own you, man. Like, it's just, it's very sad, you know, in a way, because maybe, and it kind of goes back to what I had kind of prefaced earlier about the whole underground versus the masses thing. Like, is it a choice that some of these artists decide they'd rather just be an underground artist, although it may not give you the as much of a financial success and all of that good stuff, but it's more fulfilling in a sense, I would imagine,
right?
You know, because that in a sense could be channeled through to other type of artistry as well, where you become mainstream and it really does compromise the integrity of the creative mind and the artist and the genius, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like this trade, so it's this push and pull. And I think what a lot of people don't realize about the industry when they go into it, they all just want to make it big, you know, is that you have to literally, you're really making a big trade. You're like signing your name in blood almost, you know? You are essentially owned by the labels,
yeah,
the powers that be that can give you what you want.
Why would they sign a Murs who they signed him because they saw how amazing he was, right? Then they throw him into this studio, throw him a bunch of money to put all these producers together, and then he can't really do what he's want. I guarantee you, when you listen to this album, it's nothing like his older albums. He couldn't do, it just didn't make any sense. A lot of it was like radio friendly, wishy-washy, watered down. And I'm like, why would you do that to him? in the first place? Just what were they doing there?
They know what they've got, and they're milking it, and they're just taking what they want from people and turning it into cash. And it's a business, you know, at the end of the day. And that's part of what makes the entertainment industry a little bit disheartening sometimes, is like, you know, we all love it for what it is. Right. We all love it. It's brought us great things, don't get me wrong, because I'm in this industry too, you know? The point is, there is that darker side and that rougher side to it, where you have to, like I said, compromise a lot to be able to gain that fame. And it's kind of a catch 22, because you do this not because you just love it, but in the end result, we all want to be able to reach the masses and for everybody to be rocking to our music and to appreciate our art form. But in order to have that, you got to kind of give that up too.
You definitely
give what made you special up. So it's really,
it's tragedy.
It is kind of a tragic thing if you think about it. Yeah, this album, I think I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to entertain it a little bit, only because you bring it up and then kind of compare it to his previous stuff with Ninth Wonder.
But Murs and Ninth Wonder, those five albums, go check them out. Murs has a bunch of other albums. He has a body of work that's amazing. He's still producing, and he's an underground legend, so definitely go check him out. Go pick him up.
Yeah, support that.
Who should we get into now?
Well, we talked about Rhapsody, so let's get into Rhapsody, you know, and it's like rightfully so.
Carol's excited about this.
I'm excited about Rhapsody because, she's, you know, dope. Like I said before, I'm all about hoorahing for the ladies and stuff. And but I like her because I feel like I kind of share a similar thought process. I like the things that she says, and I like how real it is. And you'll have to listen to it in her music. I want to play a song for you.
Okay.
And then we can go into it a little bit more. So the song is called Believe Me. It's from her album, The Idea of Beautiful. I really like her album. I really like her as a lyricist. So I think everyone should go check it out. But here we go. Believe Me.
Lie. Mountains and peaks, valleys I've been through. The landlord telling me come through, rent due. Since you seem to have it all figured out, next month while you copping one, cop me a Benz too. They all think just because rhymes being laid and niggas getting paid, when I struggle like you do, put out more product and it's better than labels move. Meet the frustration that I never gave in to. Nigga, Lauren ain't crazy, just don't know what she been through. Complain about radio, my nigga got no room, cause niggas with opinions don't support you on iTunes. Listen, my sole mission was to rap and get paid to be someone that these little girls look up to. Now I see the game for what it is, a big chess move. Playing my cards, all how they was dealt. I won't bless with the money, so my movement ain't felt. Nigga, smoking mirrors, look in the mirror, telling myself, self, ain't you glad your shit is imperial? I rule everything around me, the cream. Get your dollar bills, y'all, this game is all a scheme. For control and being sold, it's a backwards kind of thing.
Alright, so that song was called Believe Me, and I liked what I liked about it, not just the lyrics, and the lyrics is really cool, because I like how she goes into that misconception of people calling themselves artists and how they come into, like, oh, I'm an artist, I'm a this, I do this, that, and the other. Right. And it could be really, you know, misconceived, like, oh, so you're successful, I have an album, I have this and that and the other. But, you know, other people don't understand what it takes to be in the industry, who hasn't immersed themselves in the industry to see for themselves how it really works, you know, are easily misled just because I'm laying tracks. I mean, I'm
getting
paid.
Tell she went through everything she's talking about in this song.
So that's why I like that, exactly. It's like, it's so personal. Yep. And not only that, but like the way the beat comes in too, like it just sets a tone, man. Like as soon as you hear it, you feel like all snaps, I'm about to.
Right, and she loves Lauren, you can tell.
Yeah, I gotta, you know, put my ears up to this because she's about to tell me something good here, you know?
Yep.
And so it does set that tone, and I really enjoyed that song amongst many of hers. And what were your thoughts on it?
I think that she's one of those artists where you could just, like, turn off the TV for a moment, please, and sit down and really absorb what she's talking about and enjoy it. You could do anything with this album. Drive, what'd you say, drive on the 101, drive to Vegas.
Yeah, it's a cool album, and I enjoy it.
Yeah, she puts you in a good zone, right?
Yeah, and it's funny, it's actually kind of ironic. I didn't even realize going into this song that it just kind of touches on what I just talked about in terms of the industry,
right,
and all of that stuff. I didn't even realize that. But
she said it's all a scheme in that
verse.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, wow. Yeah. I mean, we're just talking about how they, you know, try to mold you into something you're not. Just leave me alone. Let me be creative.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very interesting, actually. So, but I'm gonna play you another song, real quick, and we'll talk about it.
Let's do this.
1 second.
Mountains and peaks, valleys I've been through. The landlord telling me come through, rent due. Since you seem to have it all figured out, next month while you copping one, cop me a Benz too. They all think just because rhymes being laid and niggas getting paid, I struggle like you do, put
got more product and it's better than labels move. Meet the frustration that I never gave in to, nigga. Lauren ain't crazy, just don't know what she been through.
Alright, so that song too was called Believe Me. It's the same song we just played you. It's just a different version of it. It's another spin, you know, Ninth Wonder's other spin on it. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting because I like them both for different reasons. This one just makes me want to like bob my head and just be like, oh, you know, it's just you start feeling the music as soon as it comes on. You're like, this is knocking.
Yep.
And the other one, like I said, it has a different mood to it. Like it makes you go, okay, I got to give you some attention so I can hear this. And I think the first one we played you, for me personally, when I first listened to that one, I feel like I was able to really absorb the content better. I was able to sit down and really like concentrate on what she's saying and like, oh man, like appreciate her lyrics and this, you know, the whole idea behind the song. And with this other one, it's good too. The second version, it's immediately though, I'm drawn to the beat. And I feel like her lyrics could almost be secondary for somebody who's a passive listener.
Right.
But Simone, you made an observation about how they were placed on the album.
Yeah, so these songs are both placed back to back. And usually, if you do a remix of a song, you put the original in the first one or two in the beginning of the album, and then you put the remix usually at the end. That's always how it's usually always been. But Ninth produced it so well that he did it back to back. You got both songs, two different beats, same verse. And I didn't recognize it the first go around. It puts you in a zone, but then I was like, wait a minute, how genius is that? He just did two different beats, same song. Like, yeah. That just shows you. I mean, I don't know what it really shows you. It just shows his creativity and just that he really loves this song back to back. That's very interesting. I like that.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's pretty daring, you know?
Yeah.
And I think daring what makes it interesting too is for me, I listened to that first version and I'm like, man, I'm feeling that's a good joint. You know, I absorbed it.
Right.
And then the second one came on and like for a minute there, like you said, you kind of zone out and you're like, okay, I'm feeling this is something different. And like you're into the beat, you're into this whole thing. And then she starts spitting and once you start to learn the lyrics, you know, you're like, oh, wait a minute, it's the same song.
Yeah.
And like, obviously you would say that, oh, well, don't you see in the title, it's titled the same way? But oftentimes it's, I'm listening to this while I'm driving. So the point is, you know, I didn't realize they were the same songs because I never really looked at to see like the song titles. I just listened to them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's on shuffle. So it's like, it won't play them back to back.
Right.
You know, and that's another reason why it was like overlooked. And then we just looked at it just now and realized that it is back to back and it's the same exact song. And they're both equally good.
Equally good. So, I mean, you got to respect the craft for both of them to come together. They're both from North Carolina. I think maybe that's why Ninth took a common interest. She has a song with Mac Miller, and I don't particularly like Mac Miller, but they both shine on the song. I think he's on the album too, Mac Miller, if I'm not mistaken. But I want to play another track where this shows. This dude's name is Childish Gambino. He's an actor. Not to take anything away from his music. I think the dude's on Community. Do you know this guy?
I'm not sure.
We got it. We'll check him out on another episode.
Okay.
But it's Blue, Childish Gambino, and Rhapsody. And I just could see Rhapsody just battling people in a cypher and just handling her own.
All right. So we're going to get into this song by Rhapsody. It's another song that Simone wants you guys to check out.
Yeah, this song's the shit.
Here we go.
Yeah, Fruity Loops looking like Tetris. I want to be Pharrell so bad I got the haircut. I want to be Pharrell so bad I cut the drums out and put my own verse on the end when it comes out. Lost my B card to D-R-E. She like trains, so we broke up. Listen to Big, grow up. Listen to Jehovah. I was a Jehovah witness trying to make sense of the beautiful music. Hey, tell them it's beautiful music.
Hey, so that song was called Beautiful Music by Rhapsody, Childish Gambino, and Blue, produced by Ninth Wonder. I love the way they go back and forth. All very lyrical, all with a message. They're telling a story of how they fell in love with this beautiful music called hip hop. That's what this show is all about. And this whole album is hip hop. If you're going to go from a hip hop blueprint, you got to listen to this shit. As an artist, I think she's just in my top 10. And I don't even want to put her in a category like female rappers because there's not enough of them out there. And the ones that are in the mainstream, I don't particularly like. And she's definitely on my top 10, okay, people? Please go pick her up.
Top 10 in general.
In general.
Just overall, period. You know? And I have to agree with you. I think she's on mine, too. Yeah, so I actually want to get into one more song before we move on from Rhapsody.
Yes.
Only because, like, it's such a chill song. It's one of those things that you could totally bump. And, like, it's another one that she kind of reflects on, just talks about her life and just things. It's really cool, man. Let me play it. You'll get a feel for it.
And I give a damn about your minks. Defer from your fur. bitch come with the deals that you ain't. That nigga sign without a blink. Don't bond with me well like Mel's in all pink. Strong-minded frail shit, the lyrical Darlene. It was never all rosy, yo, these niggas all goldies. They slave to the oldies, the presidents just think. That's real life rap, money, power, there's nothing else. A lot of sex, drug uses, and rapping about wealth. Ain't no balance in the system no more, we ain't well. Ain't a rapper on the radio with stories to tell. Hip-hop never died, yo, the radio fell. Now the power's with the people, wonder if they could tell. Just some change for your thoughts like those in the well. Yo, I kick it for you all and take it back for a spell.
And drums, like I did when I was young. In drums, my bum, 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 bum.
So that song was called In the Drums, and after listening to it again, it almost, it's like I do things like subconsciously, don't even realize it. I think I wanted to play that song because it encapsulates this entire show, sort of, and it kind of encapsulates what we just talked about, the whole idea 100%. Of like radio, the masses industry, and all this stuff. And that's why I like her, because you could tell she went through the struggle with that. You could tell that there was some controversy
right.
of some sort, you know, where there was that push and pull. Do I want to sacrifice this?
Yeah.
Sacrifice my, you know, who I am for that fame, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it just,
yep.
I think that's a really good song, man. I think it's one that you could like blast during the summertime. Can you just imagine? It's like,
the beat is crazy.
Yeah, the beat is so chill. But that's a little glimpse of Rhapsody for you.
She's
amazing.
A little
glimpse of Rhapsody. If you're into...
And that's her first album, too.
Is that her first album?
Yeah.
So yeah, pick it up because it's really good.
You won't be disappointed.
She definitely does female lyricist justice.
Yeah. Rhapsody is a genius. Speaking of genius, there's a rapper we should talk about.
Yes.
And she's in connection with Ninth Wonder, another female.
I know.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too, but we'll get to her. We have one more that we want to talk
about. Let's do that
one
then. Okay.
This artist that we're going to get into, he doesn't have any association with Ninth Wonder.
Right.
But we both equally like him. And this is touching on what I prefaced earlier. Why Simone goes, when I brought this album up to him, I was like, I like this one, let's talk about it. He goes, you like this album?
I could not believe it.
I could not imagine you liking this album.
Can you just explain to them, there's like a pattern, or is it a concept album?
Yeah, it is a concept album. And we're talking about 88 Keys.
88 Keys.
The Death of Adam. And I really like this album.
This is crazy.
You know what? It's not even the things that he says in it. I don't take this album seriously in a certain way. Because it's fun. It's comical. And it's just hilarious. Well done. And I think it's one of those things. Like, I always talk about albums being good albums when they're so cohesive and it's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, interludes and outros that lead into the next song. It's just well woven. And I appreciate that type of craftsmanship.
I'm trying to find the playlist. A lot of these songs are they're hilarious.
They
and
they're, are.
And they're creative. And they're all a part of a concept, which I don't know if he was like a misogynist in his earlier or if he was like a womanizer, or what do you think? What song did you appreciate? Which song would we get into?
This one's one of my favorites. Like, I like the entire album, like I said earlier, but I'll play you this one because it's just fun.
Let's stay resting. We just finished having round one. We shouldn't rush into another session. Here's my confession. My talk was BS and you put a little bit of game and I'm through with my checking pass like Hound's Tooth. Making it all sound true. Oh man, round two.
What time is it now?
20 minutes.
Damn, that was 20 minutes already?
Alright, so I really like that joint only because it's hysterical, this whole thing. He's like, you know, he's just pretty much running game. He tells you that, hey, I kind of oversold myself just to hook up with you. And so he didn't expect to meet his match. And here she is. She's like, let's go again. And he's like, oh, shit.
Round two.
I just really actually had enough in me for one round.
Right.
And she's like, what? All this talk, you asshole. Another one that kind of reminds me of Redman. Weird. But
yeah.
That kind of has a little bit of that Kanye.
Yeah,
too.
A Kanye
feel.
Kanye's
on this album, right?
Yes, he is on this album. And he has a song, it's called Stay Up. And I when I heard the song, I was like, it has a Kanye feel. And then Kanye gets on the mic, and we're going to play that song. But I want to see this reference that he refers to a certain person. And this album was made in 2008.
Okay, let's play it.
He pop up like the same thing, he keep. And every time that she bang bang, he skeet. And he's so bullheaded, try to three-peat. Try imagining something passionate between you, Cassie, and Kim Kardashian. Maybe that'll work when you get to hit that ass again. Or you could grab a Red Bull and sip that twice. Now y'all can have sexy time. It's nice.
So if you listen to that verse, he talks about maybe you could have a threesome with Cassie and Kim Kardashian. This song was in 2008. That's just weird to me. Like, he's talking about his wife in a kind of a strange way. Like, maybe you should have a threesome with Cassie and Kim Kardashian.
Before she was his wife.
Before she was his wife, man. Who would know, like, well, 5 years later?
They're married? Is it his baby mama? Anyways, hello. No, that's interesting. That's interesting, right? Because it almost seems like, did he have eyes on her this whole time?
This whole time. Man, I want to know, man. Schematic. And she's been through like 9 men in that period of time. Remember those fake marriages? We're going to sound like TMZ for a minute.
No, we're not going to get all
Please
into that.
Please don't, Bieber.
But you're right. That's a very interesting reference that, you know, that was way before their time, or at least before we knew. I think they were friends for a long time anyway. Right. But interesting that he'd bring that up, though.
I like Kanye in this verse because you're going to get Kanye when he was on top of his game in 2008. That's when everyone loved him. That's when I really was a fan. He was being fun.
Yeah.
He was being goofy. It's sexy
time. He
take
himself seriously, like you said.
Yeah, so. Now, what the hell?
Like, I mean, they take themselves seriously. Don't get me wrong. It's just they had fun with their craft.
They're having fun.
You know, and that's why I appreciate this album, even despite the content and all this other stuff. It's just, it's storytelling in a way, you know, and like it's an experience. So I can take it for what it is.
I can see why you appreciate this album, even though there's another song I want to with Fonte.
Okay, let's play it.
Okay.
So let me back it up and just explain to you exactly what your options is. Option one, take this nigga to the Hoover. Or option two, fuck on, I never knew you. I know it sounds crazy and it seems prideful, but I couldn't shake the feeling that I was lied to. She ran out the room with mad tears in her eyes. Left the pills on the dresser right by my copy of Get Back. I poured them in my hand, then put one in my mouth. Sure enough, all this time she been popping Tic Tacs.
That song is called Close Call on the 88 Keys album. Fonte did that verse, one of my favorite rappers. He went hard. I've never heard him say some crazy shit like that. That verse, it was crazy. And then he sang at the end. You know he raps and sings? This dude's talented, and we're definitely going to talk about that cat. And another one of Ninth Wonder's people.
Oh, is that Fonte?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I guess we do come full circle. This is a whole Ninth Wonder tidbit. You wanted to play that line, and you actually, that's why you were surprised that I like this album.
Yeah.
Is that line in general, the whole like, abort this baby, or I don't want nothing to do with you. Basically, I knocked you up, I don't want anything to do with you. And you know what? Generally, I would go, oh, you asshole, I do not like this. You know, mm-hmm. I so disagree with you, you ass. But if you listen to the song and you listen to the album and stuff, it's a lot of like scandalous things going on.
Deceiving,
so
deception.
Yeah, it's deception on her part too. So it's kind of like, you know, you can't get mad at that. I'm not saying I'm pro-choice, people. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not sitting here to say, you know, be political about anything. It's just the fun in the music. But that's why I think I can dismiss it, is because it's...
You can separate...
Yeah, I can separate the politics.
This is entertainment.
Well,
this is one of those ones...
How I truly feel versus...
Right.
That this is entertainment, and that it's part of the storyline is that she did him scandalous by sitting there lying to him. So it's just... It's part of the storyline. So... I think that's why I can.
And this one is a totally different direction from Rhapsody and MERS with 88 Keys. He's talented, but this album is this is like totally different from the albums we were talking about. And that's why it's a good, it's kind of refreshing to have a balance of conscious hip hop. And then you got a concept album. And there's a lot of good stories in this. Yeah. But it's definitely entertainment.
Yeah.
It's like a good movie.
Yeah, it's almost like watching a TV show of some sort. Every song is, it's like episodic.
There's a few Jerry Springer episodes in here mixed in with Oprah.
It reveals a little bit more about he's with this other girl, all these relationships, all this stuff that he's going through. So it's kind of cool, you know? Like I said, take it for what it is. It's entertaining.
So what's the name of the album? One more time, Carol Kay.
The Death of Adam, 88 Keys.
He's a producer and a rapper and very talented at that.
Yes, very, very talented. He does have another album out too where it's just all beats. It's like 27 songs.
You like
on
that one, huh?
It's sick, dude. I don't even know why I don't own it. I'm gonna get ready to own it.
Right.
But check it out. That one's pretty dope too. That's 88 Keys for you. And
so
we'll probably bring him up again at some point. So all right, dude, let's circle back.
Let's do it again.
We talked about another female rapper.
Oh yeah, Jean.
There's very few female rappers, female lyricists in the game, in the underground and all that jazz as it is. We're underrepresented. But when we do have the few out there who represent as well, you should really give them some praise. So let's get into Jean Grey.
Let's get into it.
All right, so I want to play a song of hers. I just want you to listen to it, to be honest. Take it in. Here we go.
Man, pardon, man, please. You don't want to get me started, fam. See, I'm the plan and the marketing key. A nice motherfucker creeping in the heart of your team. Now, how smart are we? Hip leaning on your arteries. Keep your foes closer with the nose posted up. It's all a job to me. Walk like Pam Grier and Nan Fair. Stalk the city. Straight lines like the hawk on beat. Don't be ridiculous, nigga. You won't last like a phonograph sale. Take a photograph of your cash bail. Cause you don't wanna be around when we crash summer.
Alright, so that was Jean Grey off her album Genius with Ninth Wonder. I like that song and I like her in particular because like Rhapsody, you know, they both are extremely great lyricists. They flow really, really well. They have that talent for it. I think the difference for me though is like Rhapsody, she seems like a little more scaled back and laid back in her rhymes.
Yeah,
you know, like
there you go.
She speaks the truth. I don't know. It's more like it's you sit there and she makes you kind of think about some stuff.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a thought provoking. And Jean Grey, not that her stuff isn't thought provoking, but the way she comes out, the way she delivers her lines and her delivery and all that stuff, it's more like battle style. It's like I'm coming out
like
hard.
She's a verbal dagger.
Yeah, she's a verbal dagger for sure.
Yeah.
So like that's the styles are different, but you know, I think they're both equally great, and I like them both. But that's Jean, a little sample of Jean Grey. There's a couple.
And
other
she's
songs
fun
too.
On this album, she has a bunch of fun songs. She can either go deep, and then like I said, she's a verbal dagger. Like she's very aggressive style.
Yeah,
she's
aggressive.
Got her fun moments. She can just take it anywhere, but she's definitely something to look forward to. She has a bunch of albums. She's been around for a while and very underrated. She used to open up for The Roots. She was signed to Blacksmith with Talib Kweli's label, and she came out with an album recently. So definitely check that out. But this one with Ninth Wonder is a classic, I believe.
Yeah, it is a classic. This is how I got introduced to Jean Grey, actually. Like I didn't know about her until I heard this album, and and I think we both can agree that she is in our top 10 in general overall lyricists.
Yep.
And I wanted to play another song for you from Jean Grey that I really like too. This one's called This World, another one off that same album.
Okay, cool.
Brothers, they wildin' on account of me ripping the truth. Flipping positions, mission written, man, I'm living proof. I took the mittens off, I'm slugging open fist. Shadow box, slap boxes, ain't shit. The double standards are driving me, I'm mechanical now. The catalog gets gradually bigger annually. I'm a door breaker down, a lord disobey. A crowd around a Renault for simply saying needs taming. I'm entertaining, yes, attacking like Dick Cheney's chest. But lacking nuts, so macadamia fuckers claim the best. It's not gonna last long, homie, I'm that strong. You gonna fuck up leaving, past gone. I'm here to fuck perception, writing it's 2020, our prescription. Leaving it blinded, you should have brought protection. Watch your next, I'm sneaking up behind you like the tax and checks all up. You're next.
So that song is another one that I really like of Jean Grey's. Like, she's so hardcore, man. That's why I really like her. Like,
you just get amped, right?
Oh my god, dude. Like Shadowbox slapping and all this other stuff. Man, she's just cool.
She says
like,
crazy stuff.
I'm serious. Like, I have to agree with you that she's underrated. So underrated. And that's the problem with a lot of like the female in the game too. It's like, is they get overlooked because they're females.
Yeah.
But here we are with two females, we think. Just
monstrous.
Makes the overall list for us, you know?
Yeah, period.
So yeah, go listen. And I'm not only saying that because I'm a woman.
Right.
I'm just saying because she really is good, you know?
She's definitely
so
good.
Yeah, and actually, that Rhapsody, going back real quick, she shout outs to Lauryn Hill.
Big time,
on
big
that
ups.
Song,
and that song and a couple others, she's definitely highly influenced.
Oh, absolutely.
By Lauryn, and who would
rightfully
be?
So, Lauryn Hill is pretty amazing in her own right, too.
Do you remember when she used to rap Lauryn? Besides her beautiful singing, she used to rap her ass off with the Fugees.
We should bring her up in another episode because there's other people that we want to talk
about. Do you
want to
do a Fugees episode or you want to do a straight Lauryn?
I'm not sure yet, but we'll definitely mention that.
Yeah, big ups to Lauryn. Shout out to
for
you.
For sure, Z's. All right, so there's another Ninth Wonder.
Collabo. There's two I know for sure. One's called The Formula. The other one's called Chemistry.
Chemistry is the one I know.
That one's dope.
There's two songs off this album that I really like. And one is called Food for Thought.
Now this is Ninth Wonder and who?
Buckshot. All right.
A legend.
Let's play it.
Damn, can I get a piece of bread without somebody in the street trying to eat what I said? I know I spread words like butter on toast, cause when you get it in the morning, then you love it the most. But see, it's really the beef I hate. Even though it's a lot of y'all that wanna see my plate, I dedicate time to separate lines and go bananas when I think about the food for your mind. And stay away from them rotten apples. When you're fed, some get fed and do a lot to get at you. So I match my caliber with my calories. 45 shots of slices like Kennedy. Nah, where you want it, breast of the thigh? I got a two-piece and fries for niggas like y'all. So why would I pass my plate when I'm working for a salary?
That was food for Thought by Buckshot and Ninth Wonder. I like that song because it's like metaphor heavy. It's like the whole song. The whole song.
I got a two-piece.
Like, yeah, this whole song, he's got this whole food metaphor to life type thing. And it's like, it's pretty ill. Like, I didn't think you can have that many metaphors.
In one song. That's smart.
Yeah, it's a very smart song.
And Ninth, he picks the right people to do songs with, man. He picks the right people to do projects with. You don't want to waste this man's time. So if you get in the booth with him, you got to come with it. And Buckshot comes with it since 96. If you're a fan of Black Moon, I know I got you open. Remember that song by Black Moon? And Buckshot has his own record label called Duck Down Records. This was a great project because they have a bunch of albums together, and I think they need to make a few more. But definitely go check out The Formula and Chemistry. Those are my two favorites.
There's another song that I wanted to play. I said it, there was two, and the other one is called Side Talk.
Oh yeah,
I bump it all the time.
All right,
here we go. Play it. Because if you're all, I'ma hit your hall like Boa Construct. You know when it's buck, this little nigga blowing it up. I ain't a killer. I am a vet. I am a threat. I am the reason that you sweat at night. Watch your neck. Disrespect ain't a part of my vocab, you know that. Steps at me get caught like a slow cab. No jab, just hooks and bars. Hook the underground first, right after I hook them stars. Got niggas in their cars, bobbing their head, talking about buck ain't shit. You heard what he said? Off with his mouth. I could've told you when you act like a bird. You get kicked when you come around, stupid back on the curb. Listen, a word is a word, but that can cause war. Next time, watch your lips or watch your jaw. Listen, this is Side Talk. Alright, so that's another one of my favorites by Buckshot. I like it because there's so much attitude. You know, there's like this whole no bullshit type stuff. And I think why I like it too is like, again, it's one of those things that shares my thought process. It's like, man, sidestep to the sidewalk, quit bullshitting. You know, he says something about, is it no jabs, just hooks and bars or something like that?
And I mean, he goes straight to the point.
Yeah, so it's like almost like that same lyrical dagger type thing that we're talking about. You know, it's just throwing you punches, but verbal punches, you know?
And I think all these artists today prove that they like, you got to come with some originality, and all these artists come with some kind of originality. They're not a carbon copy of shit that you hear on the radio, and maybe that's why they're not on the radio, because they're not robots. Buckshot actually does a song with KRS-One called Everybody Wanna Rap, Everybody Wanna Sing Like a Motherfucking Robot. That we'll get into that one another episode, but he just talks about the stuff you hear on the radio, auto-tunes, 2 Chainz. Come on, man, like that stuff will numb your mind. And sometimes you want to think. Music is about thought. It's about getting from point A to point B. And there's stuff on the radio, in my opinion, it just skips from C to D to F. And a big capital F, because this shit is foul. I can't stand it. But all these artists, definitely take a look. Carol picked these out very well. She did her homework. Buckshot came to the table like with some attitude, like you said.
Yeah, total attitude. And I think if you compare all these artists that we talked about under Ninth Wonder, they all have that persona, that rawness about them, that grittiness, you know, that focus and that mentality. There's a drive behind them. They all kind of, you know, there's a little flame inside of them, you know, a little bit of that conflict where I need to address it and I'm going to address it and I don't care, you know?
Exactly.
And that's what I like about it. And, you know, it's just real stuff and real good stuff. And it's just, it's a shame that a lot of people don't know about them. And hopefully through this and through just us spreading the word, they'll get some recognition and not have to compromise themselves.
Right. There's other stuff out there. And we're gonna touch on all of these.
Yeah, yeah. So is there another Buckshot one you want to talk about?
I would like to go into that Buckshot and KRS-One. We definitely got to leave them with some of that. It's called Robot. There used to be a time when you was writing your rhyme. You observed the rule of no biting, no imitating, no hating, no faking. We started breaking so we could stop fighting. Get enlightened. I battle you, you battle me. The crowd judges the originality. It's not about a salary. It's all about describing the reality that's grabbing me accurately. Everybody wanna rap, everybody wanna sing. Everybody do they thing like a motherfucking robot. When the show stop, what you know about? How to go about this? Everybody wanna rap, everybody wanna sing. Everybody do they thing like a motherfucking robot. When the show stop, what you know about? How to go about this? I can't rap, ask me the program. I can't sing, ask me the program. It's so sad to me. Chris, tell him why this is more like a factory, actually. Hip-hop is a new urban. So that was Buckshot and KRS-One. The album's called Survival Skills. That song just pretty much talks about everything that we believe, and that's that everyone sounds like a robot and be your own person. Hip-hop's not about spreading like a BS message. It's about lyrical content. It's about the art, about the craft, and take it serious, man. Just don't go in the booth spitting some, I sold crack and I have two chains and I have a machete, I have guns. Like, it's not even about that. And I hear so much of the saturated negativity. First of all, I don't understand when negative content became so damn cool. Like, why are you, do you look up to this dude? How is even on the Grammys, first of all? But I'm sorry, I keep talking about these same artists, but it kind of makes me want to throw up inside. But that song is just, it's beautiful. They're two legends on one song.
Right.
More rappers need to come together and do more albums like this.
Yeah, man. I think so, because like there are no options.
There's no options. That's the thing.
That's on the surface. And that's why this whole thing's underground, is if we're able to bring it to the surface so people can go, oh, man, there are other things that are good. There are actually good things. Not that there are other things, but there are good things.
You know
what I mean? And so I think we both are equally frustrated with just mainstream in general, because it's like, you know, what happened to artistic expression? There are none anymore. It's just, hey, pump them out of the factory. Let's make some money.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of sad. It's really
cash cows. Yeah.
Yeah, cash cows indeed. That's it for today's show, but we want to leave you with a little something to ponder, like we always do. And Ninth Wonder, as Simone brought up earlier, he won a Grammy. For his work with a high-profile mainstream hip-hop artist.
Very high.
Can you tell us what he won the Grammy for? Email us at offbeatpod, that's P-O-D, short for podcast, @gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @offbeatmusicbox, and we look forward to hearing from you. And at some point, we will give you answers to everything we ask.
Yeah, we'll have a wrap-up show and give you all the answers.
Yeah, exactly. So... all right, so we're going to check out for the day, guys. Thank you for tuning in and spending your Saturday or your day with us, because it's Saturday for us now, but it may not be Saturday when you listen. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Carol Kay.
I'm Simone.
All right, and we're going to leave you with a little Jean Grey. Stay offbeat, guys.
Do it.
9 a.m., hogging him. My eyes widening, feeling like it's Groundhog Day. He gotta try again. Hip tied with thoughts of retiring. Pride fires and he wired me some truth and inspirement, so I can't fail him. He gets the mail and he's off like a movie.